The Arabian Nights, the 241st night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Julanar's mother went to the king, and when she announced the birth of his son, he rejoiced and knelt in gratitude before the Almighty God. Then he bestowed robes of honor, distributed money, and gave gifts. When he was later asked, 'What do you wish to name him?' he replied, 'I name him Badr.' And the boy was called Badr. Then the king bade the princes and chamberlains bid the people decorate the city, and he opened the jails and clothed the widows and orphans, and gave alms to the poor, and freed many Mamluks, as well as male and female slaves, and held celebrations and gave a magnificent banquet, to which he invited the select few as well as the general public. The celebrations lasted for 10 full days. On the 11th day, as the king sat with Julanar and her brother and mother and cousins, Julanar's brother rose and, taking the newborn Badr, played with him, made him dance, then carried him in his arms while the king and Julanar looked at the boy and rejoiced. Suddenly, her brother, taking them by surprise, flew with the boy out of the window far from the shore and dove with him into the sea. When the king saw the uncle take his son, plunge with him into the sea and disappear, he let out a great cry, and his soul almost left his body. He tore his clothes and began to weep and wail. When Julanar saw him in this condition, she said to him, 'O king of the age, do not fear or weep for your son. I love him even more than you do, and he is with my brother, who does not mind the sea or fear drowning. If he thought that the boy would be in any danger, he would not have taken him there. Soon he will come back with your son safely, God the Almighty willing.' Soon the sea began to storm and surge, and suddenly Sa'ir, the boy's uncle, emerged safely with the boy and flew into the room with the boy nestling in his arms as quietly as the moon. Then Sa'ir turned to the king and said, 'I hope that you were not frightened when I dove with him into the sea.' The king replied, 'Yes, by God, Sa'ir, I thought that he would never return safely.' Sa'ir said, 'I took him there to pencil his eyes with a special coal blessed by the words inscribed on the seal ring of Solomon, son of David. When a child is born to us—' But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 242nd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Julanar's brother Sa'ir said to the king, 'When a child is born to us, we pencil his eyes as I have told you. Now you need not fear for him to drown, suffocate, or be harmed in any way by water, for just as you walk on land, we walk in the sea.' Then he pulled out from his pocket a sealed bag and, breaking the seal, emptied it, scattering strings of rubies and all kinds of jewels, in addition to 300 emerald cabochons and 300 gemstones as big as pigeon eggs, glittering like the sun. He said, 'O king, these big gemstones are a gift for your little son Badr, and these rubies, emeralds, and other jewels are a gift from us to you, since we had not brought you any, being unaware of Julanar's whereabouts or her situation. But now that we have met you and become one family, I have brought you this gift, and every little while I will bring you another like it. For these rubies and jewels are plentiful with us, and I can easily get them, since I know their sources and whereabouts better than anyone else on land or in the sea.' When the king saw these jewels, he was dazzled and wonderstruck, and he said, One of these jewels is worth my whole kingdom. Then he thanked the young man, Sa'i, and turning to Queen Julinar said, I am embarrassed before your brother, for he has generously given me this priceless gift that is beyond the reach of anyone on earth. Queen Julinar praised her husband and thanked her brother, who said, O King of the Age, it is you who have the prior claim on us, and it behooves us to thank you, for you have treated my sister kindly, and we have entered your dwelling and eaten your food. The poet says, Had I for Sudar's love before her wept, I would have solace found and never had to rue, but she wept first and made me weep and say, The credit to him who is first to act is due. And if we stand at your service, O King of the Age, 1,000 years, we would not repay you enough. The king thanked him profusely. They stayed with him 40 days. Then Julinar's brother Sa'i rose and, kissing the ground before the king, said, O King of the Age, you have done us many favours, but we have imposed on your generosity, and now we request one last favour. Grant us leave to depart, for we long for our home, family, and relatives. But we will never cease to serve you, and serve my sister Julinar. By the omnipotent God, we are not happy to leave you. But what shall we do, since we have been reared in the sea and find uncongenial the life of the land? When the king heard this, he rose to his feet and bade farewell to the young man and his mother and cousins, as did Julinar. And they all wept because of the sorrow of separation and said, We will visit you often. Then they rose and with one leap flew off, dove into the sea, and disappeared from sight, leaving the king in amazement. The king continued to cherish Julinar and treat her with the utmost generosity, while the boy grew and flourished and was catered to by many attendants. The king loved him exceedingly, because he was very beautiful, and because the older he grew, the more beautiful he became. His uncle and grandmother and cousins often came to visit the king, staying with him for a month or two, then going back home, while the boy continued to thrive, so that by the time he was 15, he was unequalled in charm, beauty, and perfect grace. By then he had learned grammar, lexicography, penmanship, history, and the Quran, as well as archery and spear play. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 243rd night. The following night, Shahrazad said, I heard, O happy king, that the boy had learned the skills of chivalry, such as archery, spear play, playing with the ball and mallet, and every other skill befitting the son of a king, so that all the people of the city, men and women, spoke of none but him, for he was like of whom the poet said, His downy whiskers grew upon his cheeks like a fine drawing that dazzled my sight. He was a lamp suspended from a chain of ambergris in the dark of the night. When the boy had learned everything that befits a king, his father, who loved him exceedingly, summoned the princes, the lords of the realm, and the chief officers of state, and made them take an oath that they would make his son Badr king over them. They were very happy to take the oath, because they loved the old king very much, for he was kind to everyone, spoke courteously, acted benevolently, and never said anything that did not benefit the people. The next day, the king rode into the city with the princes, officers of state, and troops, until he entered the city square. Then he returned, and when they drew near the royal palace, he and all the princes dismounted to wait on his son, while the new king continued to ride, surrounded by attendants and preceded by officers who announced his progress until they came to the entrance of the palace, where he stopped and was assisted by his father and the princess to dismount. Then he sat on the throne, while his father stood before him in the rank of a prince, and he issued edicts, adjudicated between the princes, deposed the unjust and appointed the just, and ruled till close to midday. Then he descended from the throne, and went in to his mother Julinar of the Sea, with the crown on his head, looking like the moon. When his mother saw him, with the king his father standing in attendance before him, she rose, and, kissing him, congratulated him on having assumed the kingship, and wished him and his father long life and victory over their enemies. He sat with his mother, and rested till the hour of the afternoon prayer. Then he rode with his father and the officers of state to the city square, where he played with the ball and mallet till nightfall, then returned to the palace, attended by all the people. He did this every day. But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 244th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that during the first year, King Bara used to go to the city square every day to play with the ball and mallet, and return to sit on the throne to judge the people, doing justice to prince and beggar alike. In the second year, he began to go hunting, to tour the cities and provinces under his rule, proclaiming peace and security, and to do what kings usually do. He was unique in his day in chivalry, valor, and fairness to his subjects. One day, the old king went to the bath and caught a chill, and becoming feverish, sensed that he was going to die and go to the next world. Then he got worse, and when he was on the verge of death, he called his son and charged him to take care of his kingdom and of his mother, as well as all his chief officers. Then he summoned all the princes, lords, and prominent men, and made them once more swear a binding oath of allegiance to his son. He lingered a few days and died, and was admitted to the mercy of the Almighty God. His son, King Bahadur and Julinar, and all the princes and viziers and officers of state mourned over him, and they built him a tomb and buried him. But mourning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 245th night. The following night, Shahrazad once again said, "I heard, O happy king, that they buried him and mourned over him for a full month. Julinar's brother and mother and cousins arrived and offered their condolences, saying, 'O Julinar, although your husband is dead, he has left this noble young man, this fierce lion and radiant moon.' Then the lords and chief officers of state went in to Bahadur and said to him, 'O king, mourning is unseemly except for women. Stop distracting yourself over your father's death and distracting us with you, for he has passed away, and everyone must die.' 'Indeed, he who died and left a son like you is not dead.' Then they entreated him and took him to the bar. And when he came out, he put on a fine robe embroidered with gold and adorned with rubies and other jewels, and, placing the royal crown on his head, sat on the throne and took care of the affairs of the people, judging fairly between the strong and the weak, and exacting from the prince the right of the beggar, so that all the people loved him and invoked blessings upon him. He lived in this fashion for a full year, while every now and then his relatives of the sea visited him and his mother, and he led a pleasant and a happy life. One night, his uncle came to see his sister Julinar, and he greeted her, and she rose, embraced him, and seating him beside her asked, "Oh, my brother, how are you? And how are my mother and cousins?" He replied, "They are fine and lack nothing save the sight of your face." Then she called for some food, and after they had eaten and the table had been removed, they began to chat. They spoke of King Bahadur, his beauty and elegance, his cultivation and wisdom, and his skill in horsemanship, while Bahadur himself lay reclining nearby. When he heard what his mother and uncle said, he continued to listen to them, pretending to be asleep. Saeed said to his sister Julinar, "Sister, your son is now 16 years old, and he is still unmarried, and I am afraid that something may happen to him before he has a son. Therefore, it is my wish to marry him to one of the princesses of the sea, one who is his equal in beauty and grace." His sister Julinar replied, "By God, brother, you are reminding me of something in which I had been negligent. Brother, I wonder who is worthy of him from among the daughters of the kings of the sea. Name them to me, for I know them all." Saeed proceeded to name them to her while she kept saying, "I do not like her for my son. I will marry him only to a girl who is his equal in beauty and grace, and piety and wisdom, and cultivation and nobility, and dominion and rank and pedigree." Her brother said, by God, I know none other of the daughters of the kings of the sea, for I have named more than 100, and none of them pleases you. But, sister, find out whether your son is asleep or not." She replied, "He is asleep. Why do you ask?" He said, "Sister, I have just thought of the daughter of one of the kings of the sea, one who is worthy of your son. But I am afraid to name her, lest he be awake and his heart be taken by her. For if we fail to win her easily, all of us, he and we, and all the chief officers of state, will have to work very hard and devote all our energies to that end. For the poet says, 'Love is at first nothing but harmless play, but once entrenched it takes your peace away.'" When his sister heard this, she replied, "Brother, you are right. But tell me who she is, and who is her father, for I know all the kings of the sea and their daughters, and if I judge her worthy of him, I will demand her for him in marriage from her father, even if I have to give all our possessions for her. Tell me who she is, for my son is asleep." He said, "I fear that he may be awake, for the poet says, 'I loved her when I heard them her descry, for sometimes the ear loves before the eye.'" Then he added, "Sister, no girl is worthy of your son save Juhara, the daughter of King Al-Shamandal, for she is his equal in beauty, charm, and grace, and there is none on land or in the sea who is sweeter or more delightful than she, with her rosy cheeks, radiant brow, and jewel-like teeth." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 246th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Saeed said to his sister, 'She has jewel-like teeth, sweet lips, black eyes, a soft body, heavy hips, and a slender waist. When she turns, she shames the deer, and when she sways, she makes jealous the willow bough.'" When Julinar heard what her brother said, she replied, "Brother, you are right, for I have seen her many times when she was my companion when we were children. but it has been 18 years since I last saw her. Indeed, by God, none but she is worthy of my son, and none but he is worthy of her." King Bada, who was awake, heard what his mother and uncle said, and when he heard their description of Princess Johara, the daughter of King Al-Shamandal, he fell in love with her at once. But he continued to pretend that he was asleep, even though his heart was on fire with love for her. Then Sa'i turned to his sister Julinar and said, "There is none among the kings of the land or sea who is more powerful, more proud, and more ill-tempered than Al-Shamandal. So say nothing to your son about her until we demand her in marriage from her father. If he favours us with his assent, we will praise the Almighty God for his help. And if he refuses to give his daughter in marriage to your son, we will keep quiet and seek another girl in marriage." When Julinar heard this, she replied, "This is an excellent idea." And they said no more on the subject, while the king spent the night with his heart on fire with love for Princess Johara. But even though he was on the burning coals of passion, he concealed his feelings and said nothing of her to his mother and uncle. Next morning, the king and his uncle went to the bath and washed, and when they came out, the servants gave them wine to drink and set food before them, and the king and his uncle and mother ate until they were satisfied and washed their hands. Then Sa'i rose and said to the king and to his sister, "I will miss you, but I beg your leave to return to my mother, for I have been with you many days, and she is waiting and worrying about me." King Bada bade his uncle Sa'i farewell, and, with his heart still on fire, rode until he came to a meadow with a thicket of trees by the banks of a running stream. When he saw the shade, he dismounted by himself, for he had no retinue or servants with him, intending to sleep. But he recalled his uncle's description of the princess and her beauty and grace, and he wept bitterly. It so happened, as it was foreordained, that when he had bidden his uncle Sa'i farewell and mounted his horse, his uncle looked at him and, seeing that he did not look well, feared that the young king had overheard their conversation, and he said to himself, "I will follow Bada and see what he will do." So he followed him, and when the king dismounted at the bank of the stream, his uncle hid himself. So now, from his safe hiding place, he heard him recite the following verses. "Who will help me with a hard, full-hipped girl, whose face is bright like the sun, nay, brighter? My heart is her captive and willing slave. Lost in love for Al-Shamandal's daughter, I will never forget her all my life. I will never love anyone but her." When his uncle Sa'i heard these verses, he wrung his hands and said, "There is no power and no strength save in God the Almighty, the Magnificent." Then he came out of his hiding and said, "I have heard what you said, O my son. Did you hear my conversation with your mother about Johara last night?" King Bada replied, "Yes, uncle, and as soon as I heard what you said about her, I fell in love with her, and now my heart cleaves to her, and I cannot give her up." His uncle said, "O king, let us return to your mother and inform her about the situation, and tell her that I will take you with me and demand the Princess Johara in marriage. Then we will take our leave of her and depart, having informed her, for I fear that if I take you with me without her leave and consent, she will reproach me, and indeed she will be right, for I will be the cause of her separation from you. Moreover, the city will be left without a king, and your subjects will be left with none to govern them and look after them, and this will undermine your authority and cause you and your mother to lose the kingdom." When King Bada heard what his uncle said, he replied, "Uncle, I will not return to my mother and consult her in this matter, because I know that if I return to consult her, she will not let me go with you. No, I will not return to her." And he wept before his uncle, adding, "I will go with you now without telling her, and I will return to her later." When Sai heard what his nephew said, he was at a loss and said, "In any case, I can only pray to the Almighty God for help." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 247th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that when King Bada said to his uncle, 'I must go with you,' his uncle took off of his finger a seal ring engraved with one of the names of the Almighty God and said to him, 'Put this ring on your finger and it will protect you from the whales and other beasts of the sea.' King Bada put the ring on his finger, and they plunged into the sea and fared on until they reached his uncle's palace. When he entered, he saw his grandmother seated with her relatives, and he greeted her and kissed her hand, while she rose and, embracing him, kissed him between the eyes, saying, 'Oh, my son, blessed is your coming. How is your mother Julinar?' He replied, 'Oh, grandmother, she is well, and she sends greetings to you and to her cousins.' Then Sai informed his mother that King Bada had fallen in love with Jahara, Al-Shamandal's daughter, as soon as he had heard of her, and told her the story from beginning to end, adding, "He has come with me, so that I may demand her for him in marriage from her father." When King Bada's grandmother heard what Sai said, she was angry and upset, and she said to him, "Son, you have made a mistake in mentioning Princess Jahara, Al-Shamandal's daughter, before your nephew, for you know that Al-Shamandal is an ill-tempered tyrant who is very proud and very foolish, and that all the kings have demanded his daughter in marriage, but he has rejected them all and dismissed them, saying, 'You are no match for my daughter in beauty or dominion. I fear that if you demand her of her father, he will respond to you as he has responded to all the others, and we, given our self-respect, will return disappointed and embarrassed.'" When Sai heard what his mother said, he asked her, "Mother, what is to be done? For King Bada fell in love with this girl when I mentioned her to my sister Julinar, and he says, 'I must demand her of her father in marriage, even if I have to give my whole kingdom for her,' adding that if her father refuses to marry her to him, he will die of love and longing for her." But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence. The 248th night. The following night, Shahrazad said, "I heard, O happy king, that Sai said to his mother, 'My nephew is superior to her, for his father was king of all the Persians, and he is now their present king. Indeed, none but Jahara is worthy of him, and none but he is worthy of her. I intend to take to her father necklaces of rubies and other jewels, a present worthy of him, and demand her in marriage. If he objects that he is a king, Bada is also a king, and a handsome king at that, with a greater kingdom, vaster dominion, and many more troops and followers. I must endeavour to fulfil his wish, even if it costs me my life, because I was the cause of his infatuation. And just as I plunged him in the ocean of love, so will I endeavour to marry him to the girl, and the Almighty God will help me in my endeavour." His mother replied,
"Do as you wish, but when you speak with Anjamandal, beware of offending him, for you know his pride and violent temper, and I fear that he will lay hands on you, for he has no respect for anyone."
Sa'i replied, "I hear and obey." Then he took two bags full of precious necklaces, emerald cabochons, and rubies and diamonds, and giving them to his servants to carry, set out for the palace of Al-Shamandal. When he arrived, he asked for leave to see the king, and when leave was granted, he entered, kissed the ground before him, and greeted him in the best of manners. When the king saw him, he rose to return the greeting, and bade him be seated. When he was seated, the king said to him,
"Blessed is your coming. I have missed you in your absence. Tell me your wish, and I will grant it."
Sa'i rose and, kissing the ground once more before the king, said to him,
"O King of the Age, my errand is to the Almighty God and to the gallant king and valiant lion, whose fame has spread far and wide, and whose praise has been sung in all the provinces and cities for his justice, his forbearance, his mercy, his generosity, his kindness, and his graciousness." Then he opened the two bags, and emptying out the precious necklaces, the emerald cabochons, and the rubies and diamonds before the king, said to him,
"O king, I hope that you will do me a favour and make me happy by accepting my present."
King Al-Shamandal replied, "There is neither reason nor explanation for such a present. What prompted you to give me this great treasure? And what do you expect in return? Explain your case, and tell me your need. If it is in my power, I will grant it at once without further ado. And if I am unable to grant it, I will be excused, for God asks nothing of a soul beyond its means."
Sa'i rose and, kissing the ground before the king, said,
"O king, my need is within your means. It is in your possession and within your power, for I am not mad enough to ask the king for a favour he is unable to grant."
But morning overtook Shahrazad, and she lapsed into silence.